Noah with us. He is from the city of Miramichi. Now, Miramichi is a river, but it also is Miramichi City. And he is from Miramichi City. His grandmother was a Price? His grandmother was a Price. I don't think we're related, but can't go wrong. And we're pleased to have him here with us. He'll be graduating from NCC this year. And we want him to come and bring the word today. And we're just privileged to have him here with us.
Praise the Lord, everyone. How many are grateful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. There's no place I'd rather be than in God's presence. Because in God's presence, anything can happen. In God's presence, healings happen. In God's presence, miracles happen. And if you have a healing today, if you need a miracle that needs to take place in your life, God Almighty is here today and He is able to heal. He is able to perform that miracle. And I'm just so grateful to be here. It's been an honor and a privilege. It's been a blast. We've had lots of fun, lots of laughs. I am from Miramichi. We have a church of 18,000 people. It says 17,900 people. Don't know that yet. And I'm sure you guys have a lot. You have a big church here, too. So you have a lot of people to go to this church, too. Just a lot of people don't know it yet. That's why it's your job to take this gospel to every creature. And mostly people remember me for who my uncle is, Brother Ron Carroll. He's the pastor in Doaktown. But also, from my other side of the family, my great uncle is Brother Cole Price, who started this church, I believe. So I don't think I mentioned that. I probably should have mentioned that. That's probably very important. But yes, I am. It is important. So he started this church. So I'm very grateful for my family's heritage, for the first person that brought the gospel to my family. I'm very grateful. And I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal on both sides of my family. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm very grateful for that. And we've had a blast here yesterday and today. Thank you to Brother and Sister Price for opening their home up to us and opening their pulpit up to us. I don't take it lightly. Thank you for Brother Brent for being our chauffeur and driving us around. For everybody that came out, the crew that came out, and it was a blast. Got mad a couple times playing Super Smash Brothers. And it was, I was not very happy after that, but it's been great. It's been fun. Met new friends. Yes. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to be reading verse 21 to 33. Actually, verse 22 to 33, I believe. And if you have it, say amen. If you're looking on the screen, say amen. Amen. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And they, when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And I'd like to preach to you a few moments on this subject. The recipe for your walk with God. The recipe for your walk with God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, God, that you can just simply use me, Lord, to preach your word to these wonderful people. God, that I'm simply a servant for you. I'm simply the messenger. God, this is not my word. This is your word. And I pray, Lord, that I'm able to portray it in the way that you want me to, God. I pray, Lord, you would bless these people and minister through our hearts, Lord. Let us open up to what you have in store for us today, and let nothing hinder us from hearing your word, God. And we give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name, amen. You guys may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. The recipe for your walk with God. In this very first gospel, we see Jesus telling his disciples to meet him in a particular place. While he would send the multitudes away after Jesus had performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000 men, in actuality, Jesus fed more than 5,000. Because the Bible says in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus had fed 5,000 men besides women and children. So Jesus actually fed more than 5,000 people. So there's a very good chance that, like I said, Jesus probably fed twice as much people as what it says. The miracle worker that he is. After feeding these 5,000 plus people through these multitudes, they're just amazed at this miracle. And they all want to gather around Jesus and to talk to Jesus and follow Jesus. So while Jesus is doing this, he tells his disciples to take their ship and to go meet him on the other side. The Bible says that after Jesus did this, he went to the mountain to pray. And when the evening had come, he was there alone. The next part is kind of interesting because the disciples are on their ship in the middle of the sea. And this storm just suddenly hits them. I'm no expert on sailing, but I do know that sailing your boat and in a storm, they just don't go together. It is like taking two pieces of bread, one with tuna and the other with peanut butter, and putting them together. It just doesn't go together. It's kind of an ugly combination. Maybe Sam would like it. Where's Sam? On the fourth watch of the night, which would be somewhere between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning, disciples see the shadow of a man walking on the water. At first, they think it's a ghost. That may seem a little silly, but history says that even in those times, it was common for fishermen to see some type of ghost on the waters. So take that as you will. But history proves it. At this point, the disciples, I imagine, are pretty scared. They're probably tired. They're probably hungry. But they have all these things going on at once, and they're not sure what to think of it. Jesus then speaks out from the water and tells them to not be afraid because it was him. This is the part we get to that this disciple gets a lot of flack for himself on, and that is Peter. Peter wants to walk on the water if the Lord will allow him to, so that he can meet him on the water literally. Peter begins to walk on the water, and another miracle is taking place. Not just Jesus walking on the water, but Peter also walking on the water. Peter begins to walk on the water, but two things happen that become major problems. One, Peter took his eyes off God and began to focus on the storm. And two, when he took his eyes off God, he began to doubt God. And he made the storm seem bigger than his God. And let me just stop for a minute and say, sickness is not bigger than your God. Cancer is not bigger than your God. Anything that this world throws at you, it's not bigger than your God. Your God is so big, so strong, and so mighty that there's nothing that your God can't do. He is able to do the impossible. For with God, all things are possible. So I'm very grateful for a mighty God that we serve, and that with him, nothing's impossible. Nothing. So he began to doubt God. He made the storm seem bigger than God. Jesus picks Peter up and says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter and Jesus then come onto a boat, and as soon as Jesus came onto the boat, the storm had ceased. And the people that were on the boat celebrated and were reassured that indeed Jesus was the Son of God. Now, I probably did not have to go through this whole story again after reading it, but I want you to really see this story and to impart it into your mind and into your life. Here's why. Although none of us would like to admit this, but everybody in this place today, including myself, we all go through storms in our life. We all do. Different things just seem to take place in our life, and we have no idea why. We don't know why it's happening. The trials and tribulations spoken of throughout the Bible are real things that take place in our life. Whether we all will admit it or not, these storms take place. Whether it's a financial need, a sickness, a death in your family, or things that take place in your life on a continuous basis, where you're like, what in the world is going on? Why am I in this situation? What did I ever do to deserve this? We all go through those days where it seems to be the worst days in our lives. We all are on that boat, and a storm just comes our way that we can't seem to avoid, no matter how much we try to turn the wheel. I'm here today in this place to tell you that in your walk with God, you will go through storms. But just remember something that this whole world should know and needs to know. Even though you go through storms, even though you have these trials and tribulations, even though stuff takes place that we can't control, we always have someone there to give us a helping hand. And his name is Jesus. Are you grateful for the Lord today? I'm very grateful for the Lord. And we go through all this stuff and we just don't know what's going on. But just remember when you're going through that stuff that Jesus is there with you. You got to remember that. Psalms 121, a song from the Essence, which is a great psalm. All the psalms are really great, just throwing out there. I think the book of Psalms is my favorite book in the Bible. But Psalms 121 says this. And you got part of it on the sides, and I didn't even know that until I came into the church. So, I will lift up my eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Even though you may be going through that trouble, just remember you have a God that loves you and cares for you. And he wants to help you through all the troubles that you go through in this world. Nobody said that living in this world was going to be easy. Nobody ever said that. It's a test. This is a test. This is why we're here on this earth. It's a test. But the prize in the end is much greater in this test. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, a very familiar verse, reassures us this when it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is that do go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always by your side. Even though you may feel alone, and that you're going through the storm alone, you are never alone. Because God promised he would never leave you nor forsake you. Can we just thank God for that promise right now? Thank God that he's always there with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for always being there for me, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, when looking for the recipe for your walk with God, there's a... in the story of Jesus walking on water, I think we need to look at ourselves and compare ourselves to Peter in the story. The first part of the recipe for your walk with God is you need to have faith. You need to have faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let me just stop right here and say, if you don't have a prayer life yet, you need a prayer life. Especially in today's world, even though it may get darker and darker, that just means we need to shine brighter and brighter. And we need to let people see the light that's within us. And the only way people are going to see the light within us is when we're down on our knees by our bedside or in our personal closet and we are praying to God. We're communicating with God. We're developing a relationship with God. And that's the only way people are going to see that light is when we're praying. And people will look at you and be like, there's something different about you. Whatever you want, whatever you got, I want it. That's when the Holy Ghost comes in full effect. The power of the Lord. Faith is one of the most important things that you need in your walk with God. Without it, you become lost. You become disordered. You take yourself down a road that you have no idea where it's going to lead you to. But with faith, God makes everything so much clearer for you. Everything. When we talk about faith, we can mention this story in our Bible that was a big faith-believing story, and that is the story of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these boys had a tremendous amount of faith. Tremendous amount of faith. They had a lot of faith. They really did. Some of you may know the story, but just to reiterate a bit, these boys believed in their God with all their hearts, so much so that their faith was put to the ultimate test when the king of Babylon at the time, King Nebuchadnezzar, was going to force these boys to bow down to a golden image. Little did that king know that these boys were going to refuse to bow down to this golden image, which represented King Nebuchadnezzar's gods. The day came when it was time for everyone to bow down to this golden statue and to bow down to the king's gods. And anyone that didn't bow down to the image was going to be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. So when the music played, everyone bowed down except, guess who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king liked these boys. He really did. He liked them so much that he even changed the diet of what they were going to eat and stuff. And he decides to give them another chance. When the music plays, I want you to bow down to this golden image. But then we have one of my favorite portions of scriptures in the Bible, which is found in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. If it be so, our God, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talk to the king after he's telling them that they're going to throw them in the fiery furnace. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O God. And really pay attention to this next verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's a really important verse because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying, even if God doesn't save us, we're still not going to worship your gods. Even if God isn't there for us, which he is there for you, but even if we feel like he's not there for us, he's still going to save us. We're still not going to worship your gods. We're still not going to do it, King. And this is when we come in. Devil, it doesn't matter what you're going to throw at me today. I'm not going to play your little game. Devil, it doesn't matter what kind of temptations you throw at me today. I will not let my flesh overcome my temptations. Devil, I don't care about the obstacles that you throw at me. I am going to come to church. I don't care. I don't care the obstacles you throw at me to not come to church. I'm still going to find my way to make it to the altar and come to the church. It is time for us to stop worrying about the things that the devil is trying to tell us we can't and can do. And it's time to not let our fleshes take control of our everyday lives. It's time to start trusting in our God. It's time to start having faith in the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into that furnace. And the king even turned the heat up 7 times hotter than normal. 7 times hotter. It's always the number 7. But even if they were to die right there and then, they still had faith in their God. And they were still not going to bow down to that golden image. That furnace was so hot that the mightiest of men that King Nebuchadnezzar had picked to throw them in were killed. So a lot of people like to say that the miracle took place in the fire, which is true, but I believe the miracle also took place outside of the fire. Those soldiers died right away, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in. They didn't die. If those men were killed by the fire outside, why wasn't the Hebrew boys killed also? I'll tell you why. After they cast the boys in there, wasn't just three boys anymore. After they were thrown into the furnace, there wasn't just three boys anymore. No, a fourth man appeared who was God Almighty himself. Those boys had faith in their God and hate came through for them. Why can't God come through for you in your situation today? Why can't he? I'll tell you what, he can. God can come through in any situation that you're facing in your life. It doesn't matter how big it may seem to you. It doesn't even matter how small it may seem to you. God can still come through in whatever situation. You have to have faith in him. You have to believe in your God. Peter had faith that he could walk on water even when the storm was there. And God allowed him to walk on the water. People like to destroy Peter because he started sinking after a while. But you got to remember, Peter wasn't the only person on that boat. He wasn't the only person on the boat. At least Peter had enough faith to walk on the water and walk towards Jesus, while the other disciples sat there on the boat afraid of the storm that they were facing. Don't be like the other disciples and just sit and watch other people allow God to use their faith. Get out of the boat and follow Peter. Walk towards God. Sometimes in our churches, God is asking us to step out of our comfort zones. To step into another place that we never even know we could get to. But people are too scared of making a mistake or doing something wrong. If God is asking you to do something, never be afraid to step out. Never. And do something about it. Don't be timid and afraid. Don't be afraid. If God is asking you to speak into someone's life, you do it. You don't know the situation that that person is going through. You don't know what they're going through. They may need that word in their life to stay in church. They may need that word in their life to help them in their daily lives. You need to step out of your comfort zones and not be afraid to allow God to use you. And God will bless you through that too. If God is asking you to speak in someone's life, you do it. If God is asking you to pray for someone, do it. You see, God wants you to do the miracle. He wants to do the miracle. He wants to perform the miracle. But he wants to see if you're willing to step out in order for him to perform the miracle. But we end up doubting ourselves and doubting if he is really God. Which leads into the second part of the recipe. The second recipe of your walk with God is don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. You see, the story of Peter walking the water is going fine until Peter starts to doubt what he's actually doing. He starts to doubt the fact that he's actually walking on water. He starts doubting that God is able to save him through this storm. And when you start doubting God, bad things tend to happen when you doubt God. James chapter 1, verse 6, and I'm going to be reading this in the ESV version. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now, I've never been in the midst of a sea. I've never been tossed and through by the wind. But I can imagine that's not a very comfortable stage to be in. You probably would become really disordered and really confused of what's going on. And I believe that's what it's like when you doubt God. When you start doubting God, you get really confused. And you get really messed up in your mind. And that's when you become vulnerable, and that's when the devil likes to take advantage. Like Adam and Eve in the garden. He got Eve in a vulnerable position. He got her in a very vulnerable position, and then he asked the first ever question in the Bible. And Eve didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. And then she partake in the fruit. It's not a very fun story. It's not a very good story. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 to 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Anything asked in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Sometimes we feel like God's not listening to our prayers, but are you really believing that God can answer your prayer? Are you having faith that God will answer your prayer? You see, doubting faith, or faith doubting, is a complete oxymoron. Complete oxymoron. And these are two words that are just not, they're not meant to be together. Kind of like that tuna sandwich with the peanut butter on it. It isn't and shouldn't go together. It doesn't look good, and I definitely do not think it would taste good. But you see, when you have doubt with, when you have faith without a doubt, you can do incredible things, especially for the kingdom of God. According to Jesus, if you have faith without a doubt, you can move a mountain into the midst of a sea. And the Bible says it just takes the faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain. So I wonder what God can do with the amount of faith that is in this room today. In any situation you're going through, I believe there's a tremendous amount of faith in this room today. And I believe that the Spirit of God has already moved in this place in a mighty way. So I believe that if you need a healing today, there's a tremendous amount of faith today that God can heal you. And God can perform that miracle. If you need a financial blessing, there's a tremendous amount of faith today that God will bless you financially. But like I said, it just takes a little faith and not doubting that faith. I don't know about you, but that seems pretty awesome to me that we are able, when we have faith without a doubt, we are able to move a mountain into the midst of a sea. That's incredible to me. It's amazing. God also said that anything you ask in prayer believing, it would be answered. But if you have doubt in that prayer, how do you expect God to let you receive prayer, your prayer answered with doubt? How do you expect that? There's a good chance God will not answer that prayer. There's a good chance that he won't answer that prayer. There's a couple of personal stories I'd like to share with you at this moment. This past weekend, the Bible school had their preview weekend, and preview weekend is a chance where we let new, like, people that are interested in coming to Bible school come in, stay at the dorms with us, enjoy our classes with us, and partake in the food with us, and we just give them a good experience with God and let them know that we're welcoming and let them see what we do at school. And this preview weekend, our theme was deeper, going deeper with God. And the very first service Thursday night, Brother Channel, Justin Channel, spoke to us, and he spoke about baggage in our life and how sometimes we allow our baggage to hold us back in our lives. And we allow the things of our past to hold us back in the things of God. And I was sitting in the front seat, and I was praying, and something, I was really depressed that night. I don't know why, but I was so, like, I was in a weird stage. I was very uncomfortable in the service, and I didn't know what was going on, and I just prayed, and for a solitary moment, I started doubting God. I started, like, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? God, I feel like you're not even listening to me. What is going on? Like, and then I said, God, I need you to speak to me. And as soon, not even, like, 2 seconds after I said those words, Brother Channel, while I was praying, came up and spoke into my life. And I'm not going to go into the specifics, but it was exactly what I needed in my life. It was exactly what I wanted God to say to me. And sometimes God doesn't, he's not this big, like, person with a bullhorn that's like, go do this, go do that. Like, sometimes there's a small, still voice. And sometimes we over-talk God, and we're, like, thinking and doubting God, but God is just wanting you to listen to him. And God's waiting for you to stop talking and to allow him to speak. And sometimes we allow ourselves to over talk over God, And God's like, let me speak for a minute. Give me my 2 cents. Let me do something about this situation. And then another story that I'm going to tell is a really personal story. When I was, I believe, my first year of Bible school. No, my first year before I went to Bible school. So the year previous to when I went to Bible school, me and my brother were getting off the bus, and we were walking up the street to our home. And we noticed that there was a whole bunch of cars at our house. And usually, like, the red flags started going off in our minds. And we're like, what in the world is going on? Like, nobody ever comes to our house. So why is there all these people at our house? Like, what is going on? And we got into our house. We thought the worst possibilities ever. And our mom took us downstairs and told us that our grandfather had passed away by a freak accident. And that was really hard to take in. It was like a moment in my life that I'll never forget, because I didn't know what was going on. And then after that, a year later, my grandmother, who was married to my grandfather, she decided to get remarried. And when she got remarried, not even a couple weeks after she got married, she found out she had throat cancer. And I'm like, God, they just got married. There's no way that she's going to pass away. Like, they just got married. There's a reason that this happened. But then a couple months later, she passed away too. And I really was so confused. I was like, what is going on, God? This is like in the span of like 2 years. I lost my grandfather 1 year and my grandmother the next year. And I was just doubting God. I was like, I have no idea what you're doing, God. I don't know what's going on. Like, she just got remarried. Why is this happening? But then at my grandfather's first funeral, this kind of encouraged me. About the pastor of the church was preaching at the funeral, and he said one of the last conversations they had was on his boat, my grandfather's boat. He was fishing or something with them. And he said their last conversation they ever had was about God and heaven. And that kind of just encouraged me that even though it may be not what I wanted, it might have been a selfish moment in my life where I was doubting God and thinking, why did you do this to me, God? Why did you do that? There's really nothing I could be more happier about than my grandfather's last conversation being about God and heaven, and knowing that he's in a better place now, where there's no sickness, there's no crying, there's nothing, there's no death, there's no pain, there's no sorrow. He's in a way better place than he would have been down here. And my grandmother, we went to that funeral, and that was like the craziest funeral I've ever been in. Like, God, the Spirit of God just moved into that place, and like, we were having church. And I was like, God, you're having your way right now. And the Spirit of God was just moving. And I was seeing people move out. This was the craziest funeral I've ever been at. I've never seen that before at a funeral, where people are just getting out in their seats and they're just worshiping God, praising God. And if that's what immense from my grandmother's death, that's amazing. And I'm happy about that. And even though I doubted God, God was just showing me, like, look what I'm doing through these situations. Even though it may be a dark time in your life, even though you may not understand, I'm doing this all for a reason. You see, these were times where I doubted God. God, why are you doing this to me? God, what did I do to deserve this? You see, in actuality, God was increasing my faith through my doubt. And in both these stories, God was saying, don't ever doubt my abilities and don't doubt who I am. Don't we serve a wonderful and miraculous God? That doesn't matter the situations that we're going through, where we feel like we're hopeless, feel like we're undeserving, God is still there. And God is there through every situation. And last but not least, the final ingredient for your recipe is you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we are very selfish people. Because sometimes we forget about what God did for us. And we always question God of, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But in actuality, he paid the ultimate price for our sins. And we are not deserving to be in this place today. But because of all that God has done for me, I can stand here behind this pulpit and minister to you people. I can stand behind this pulpit because grace and mercy rewrote my life. And through the blood, I'm able to stand here because of all that Jesus has done for me. He took it all for you. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. He manifested himself in flesh and took all that pain, all that suffering for you. And we are not deserving, but he did it so much that he loves and cares for you. He did it all because he loves you. Peter, while walking on the water, kept his eyes on Jesus, which is honestly what kept him above the water. He kept his eyes on Jesus, and he wasn't worried about the storm. He's straightforward looking at Jesus. That and his faith at that moment is what kept him above the water. But then, according to Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, Peter saw the wind and how powerful it was, and as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus and started focusing on the storm, that he began to sink. He took his eyes off Jesus and started focusing on the storm, and he began to sink. He lost his focus. Peter started to become afraid and called out for the Lord to save him. What I say next may rub some people the wrong way, but I cannot apologize for what I say next because it is 100% truth, whether you like it or not. This world is not your home. This world is not your home. You see, a big problem with the body of Christ today or the church is that we have taken our eyes off God. And we start caring more about things that are happening in this world. And it takes our focus off of God. Technology is a big thing in today's world that can literally take what you thought was a whole day and make it seem like the day flew by super fast. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching against technology. I love everything that we have been blessed with, and as you can see today, I'm using it to preach to you people. I'm using it to preach off of. And I have no problem with phones or computers or any of that stuff. But what I do have a problem with is when you lose things, is when those things start to take away your time with God. When you're willing to sit there and watch 5 hours worth of YouTube videos, but can't even take 5 minutes to talk to God. When you are constantly on Facebook throughout the day, but your Bible sits on your table covered with dust because it hasn't been opened so long. And then people begin to complain. They begin complaining because God hasn't spoken to them or blessed them in a while. Let me ask you this simple question. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You just expect God to speak to you when you're on YouTube and Facebook for like 5 hours and you can't even spend a minute with God and talk to Jesus. Are you kidding me? It's time to get off of Facebook and get our face into the holy book. It's time to start worrying about the latest celebrity gossip and start spreading the good news of this gospel. It is time to start spending so much time watching YouTube videos and time to get our daily connection with God. We have become too much of a selfie world where we are too worried about ourselves. And we're too worried about the problem we face. And we aren't even doing anything for the people that are lost out there. And we aren't even worried about our relationship with God. It's time to get your eyes readjusted and get your eyes off the storm and to start focusing on Jesus. And I'm not just preaching to you today. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. There's times where my focus just leads me to places that I don't want to go to. And I just want to spend time with God, but I'm so distracted by things. It's time for me to start focusing more on God. It's time to stop focusing on what this world says is right and wrong. This world, it's nothing. What I care about in this world is the people of this world. And I want them to be in this church. I want them to feel loved, to let them know that they have a God and a Savior that loves them so much that he gave his life for them. And how are people supposed to see that when all we do is complain? And all we do is murmur about the latest celebrity gossip. I murmur about the things that is happening in this world and all the bad stuff that's happening in my life. How are people supposed to see that? We need to let people see the light inside of us. And we need to get to that place where we're down on our knees every single day praying to God Almighty and worshiping him and studying his word. You need to study this book. Not just read it, but study it. Because you can easily read something and just not remember it. There's a couple books I've read in my lifetime. I couldn't tell you what happened in that book. But we need to study this. We need this to enhance the kingdom of God. This is the holy truth. This is the truth because God is this truth. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is this Word. And you must believe this is the Word of God. You must believe that he's able to answer everything. I'm not going to plead to you today. I'm not going to make you do something. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. But we need to get our focus back on Jesus. We need to get it back on Jesus. There are times in your walk with God, you're going to fall and make mistakes. It's going to happen. Nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all make mistakes. We've all done stuff in our past that we're not proud of. If I opened the book of my past, you guys would be like, you should not be on behind this pulpit right now. Like, I've done some bad stuff in my past. But that's why we have grace and mercy. That's why God is the God of not just second chances, but multiple chances. We serve a God that he wants to help you. He wants to uplift you. I got good news for those people that do make mistakes and begin to sink on their walk with God. Psalms 37, verse 23 to 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. This morning, the Lord is calling you to take that step of faith into the water with him. God has ordered your steps today. In fact, that Hebrew translation literally says, it is of the Lord that man's goings are established. How many today believe in the power of faith? Do you believe in the power of faith today? How many in this place today have faith without a doubt? Faith without a doubt. How many are ready to get their focus back on Jesus? Focus on the cross. Focus on the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. If you're ready, why don't you stand to your feet this morning and just grab the hand or wrap your arm around the person next to you and just pray for them as I get the music to come back. Just pray for them. Encourage them. Minister to them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, God. We pray, God, you would just minister to these people today, God. I pray, Lord, that your love is showing today to people, God, that you would let these people be ministers to you, Lord Jesus. You would speak into their lives today, God. Encourage them, Lord Jesus. Let them know, Lord, that even though your faith may fall, God, you are there to pick them up, Jesus. Even though they may feel alone, God, you promised you would never leave us nor forsake us, God. You are always there for us, Jesus. You are always there for us, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, glory to your mighty name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to your mighty name, Jesus. Oh, I can feel the Spirit of God moving right now. It's hovering over us. All you have to do is reach your hands up and grab it. Reach your hands up and let God use you. Let God minister to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, what is so great about a recipe is that things can be added to it to make it better. I'm not saying this is the perfect recipe for your walk with God. I don't believe I have all the answers. But this is definitely a good starting point. I believe that you all have your own personal recipes and your own personal walks with God. Everybody's walk with God is going to be different. But the way you get there should be generally the same. You should be in prayer. You should be reading your Bible. You should be studying the Word because you all have ministries today. Every single one of you has a ministry for God. Did you know that? You all have a ministry. You're all ministers. Now, that doesn't mean you are called to be behind this pulpit and to preach. Like I said before, everyone's ministry is different. You are called to do something for God. When I think of the word minister, I just think of someone who is willing to serve. Someone who's willing to serve, to help out the pastor when he needs it. We talked about this a little bit in Hyphen Night, but God has a ministry for everyone. And we need everyone's help in the body of Christ. Everybody's help. Because you all play an important function within the body. Every part needs to work in order for the body to function. I invite you to this altar today. And while you're here, why don't you just pray that God would continue to let you grow in your faith. And to pray for your different recipes. Your different walks with God. Pray for your walk with Him. Pray for your ministry. Just pray that God would use you in some type of capacity. And if you are led by God to pray for someone or to speak into someone's life, let God use you. So let's come to the altar today and pray at our seats. And let's just let God, the Spirit of God, have its way today.